Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
It is September 19th, 1977. We're in Pennsylvania, a town called Clairton. And what is about to happen remains with us many decades later, right now. Selina Zito of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the Washington Examiner, the New York Post, introduces us to what happens to a town dominated by the factory called the Steel Mills when it goes away. Does it solve itself with re-education? Do people migrate to other opportunities? What remains of that a half a century later? Selina, a very good evening to you. Where is Clairton and what does it look like today? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So Clairton, Pennsylvania is about 12 miles up the Monongahela River from Pittsburgh. It was a steel mill town. It was a bustling steel mill town all the way up until the 70s. Today, well, there's not much left of Clairton. Now, in fairness, people started moving out of the city proper in the 60s. It wasn't the death of or the crippling of steel that had people move out. People moved out because they started making better jobs. I mean, making more money. They were able to buy a car. They didn't have to walk to work. They were able to buy a modest little home. And so the core of the city started to suffer more from people moving upwardly and becoming more mobile than steel declining. However, it is still somewhat alive with small little businesses, but there still are more boarded up businesses than businesses that are open.
It's remembered as Black Monday in Western Pennsylvania, the Mahoning Valley. And you take us to that moment when thousands, tens of thousands lost their jobs. U.S. Steel across the country over those months. This is the late 70s, very high inflation. Something that is regarded as stagflation. The country wasn't growing as prices were climbing. And there was no, to my memory, there was no particular attention at the time to the people who were turned out of work. Did they find other opportunities? Were there education chances? The sort of thing they talk about today for the coal miners. Did that happen for the steelworkers?
No, it was actually quite sad. So Black Monday began September 19th, 1977 in Youngstown, Ohio, where I believe there were 5,000 people working in that one plant, the Campbell Works, along the river. And they show up for their shift at 7 a.m. And pretty much as I talked to the men that were part of it, all they were talking about was the Browns and Steelers were going to play that night on Monday Night Football. And that was the center of their universe. And they get into the shop and within an hour, they were walking out. They had lost their jobs. The plant, it wasn't that they were being furloughed. It wasn't that they were being laid off, which was a common occurrence in manufacturing. The plant was closing. It was over. Within a handful of months, an additional 5,000 people lost their jobs up and down what was called Steel Valley that ran from Shenango, Pennsylvania, all the way down to Wheeling. Within a year, the domino effect hit places like Clairton, McKeesport, Braddock, and all the other steel plants that were located in sort of this area of Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Ohio, and West Virginia. In total, 40,000 people lost their jobs within a handful of years or a handful of months. And it changed the entire makeup of the area. people moved out because they couldn't find a job. People, families were separated, churches closed, barbershops, little machine shops, community centers, fraternal centers, schools, all closed down because families had to move away and families were broken up. And it left a scar on this community, not just visibly with the closing of the plants. When you drove past a plant back in those days, you heard a hum. And you knew that hum meant people were working, men were working, things were happening. The hum was gone. That was probably the biggest sort of unnerving part of it visually, because you no longer heard the hum. You no longer saw the smokestacks.
We come to 2019, and I learned from Selena's reporting that U.S. Steel, which is reaches back into the 20th century, those large layoffs on Black Monday were U.S. Steel. And over those months, U.S. Steel announced $1 billion in new cutting-edge steelmaking technologies at its Mon Valley Works. What happened? Yep. What happened to it, Selena?
I mean, that was a joyful day. It was that was the most optimistic thing people had heard in 50 years in the steel industry. The U.S. Steel was going to invest $1.7 billion in upgrades to the Mon Works. The Mon Works consist of the Irvin Works, the Clairton Coke Works, and Braddock Steel. And it was going to bring them technologically up to date and guarantee that these three entities would be there for at least the next three generations, for at least 100 years. It was the only new jobs it was creating were the construction jobs, but it stabilized the industry in the area. Within 2 years, U.S. Steel said, no, we're not going to do it. Now, it had a lot to do with being unable to get the permitting done through the health department. It had literally taken 2 years and they still hadn't had the permitting. And on top of that, there were times when they were fined $1 million a day, $1 million a week, just depended on what the permit was. And so they were in this sort of vicious cycle of being unable to be competitive because of the bureaucracy of the permitting. Part of the problem in Pennsylvania is that the permitting is uneven. So it could take 2 years in Western Pennsylvania to get a permit, and it could take 90 days to get a permit just three counties away. And U.S. Steel had said, you know, we have to be able to sort of see our future and see our ability to make steel and be compliant with regulations. So they cut the deal. They literally ended the deal and pulled up roots and went to Arkansas with this new plant. Now, the Clairton Works and the Mon Valley Works and the Irvin Works and Braddock are still standing, but their future is hanging on a string, because without upgrades, without that ability to compete with technology, the stability of them being open is left in doubt.
A puzzle about these permitting processes, different in Northeast and Southwest, for example, that sort of thing. Now, there's one government in Pennsylvania. It's in Harrisburg, is my memory. And that government is in the very capable hands of the Democratic governor, Mr. Wolf, who is, through the pandemic, he's a consistent progressive. That means sympathetic to unions, I thought. And now we have an administration where the president is quite right to say he's a union guy. He's a union president. All this lines up to, can't we do something to reverse this trend, Selena? Is nobody taking their text messages to say, hey, what about union jobs?
Okay, well, first of all, Pennsylvania, as you know, is a commonwealth and not considered a state. So that means there's all kinds of parochial little powerhouses in each county. So that county permitting, there's county permitting, there's state permitting, and there's federal permitting. So that's where that sort of clog up happens. I think the problem for the Democratic Party in terms of being, you know, they're very good at like having a union rally and telling these guys, you know, yay, we're for you. However, those union rallies orchestrated by the union leadership, most of the guys that are standing there will end up voting Republican whenever Election Day comes. It's their union leadership that has become more aligned with academics, more aligned with elites than they are aligned with the working class. And so that is the challenge for the Democrats right now. If I go to a steelworkers rally and talk to the men and women behind the scenes, they're like, yeah, we're not voting Democrat, but we got to be here. Now you can't say that on the record because then, you know, you get punished for that. But, you know, that is very much the case. And that's the problem for the Democratic Party. They're not going to come and rescue this plant because they're more sort of aligned with the climate change aspect of their party than the white working class that used to be part of the New Deal coalition within the Democratic Party. That was shed in 2012 when Barack Obama ran for re-election.
You spoke to a professor, however, who identified that this, the polite word is fraying of ties between the union workers of Western Pennsylvania and the Democratic Party, started back in the 20th century, perhaps from that Black Monday of 1977. So it is not a Trump administration phenomenon. It's been going on for decades. And is the Democratic Party is aware of this. I mentioned an irony. Braddock, Pennsylvania. I'm thinking to myself, Braddock. Where did I see that recently? I recall praising Braddock, Pennsylvania, and a man named Fetterman, who was then, I believe, either running for lieutenant governor or was lieutenant governor, for sticking it out for U.S. Steel to return. The return didn't last more than 2 years, but Mr. Fetterman is running now for national office for the empty seat, Mr. Toomey's seat in the U.S. Senate. I just mentioned, no conclusion, I just mentioned. I come back to this fray between the Democratic Party and the union workers of Western Pennsylvania. Does the Democratic Party speak to these matters? Because what you've identified is quite logical. It's been going on for decades.
Right. And I've been writing about this for decades. You know, this is how I understood that the coalition was changing. And this is why I understood that in 2010, 2014, and 2016, that these elections were not going to turn out the way scholars, academics, and reporters anticipated, because they didn't understand that these voters had not changed. However, both political parties had changed. And I'm sure it's shocking to you, John, because it's shocking when I first started seeing it happen in 2006 to see voters, to see that the Republicans were the party of the working class. I was like, what? They're the party of the country club. But that, and now it is the Democrats that are the party of the elites, and the Republicans are the party of the working class. It's not that the people have changed. It is that the parties have changed. Their coalitions have changed. And that is not something that Donald Trump created. He was the result of it. He didn't cause it.
I'm speaking with Selina Zito of the Washington Examiner, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the New York Post. And we're headed to a town in Pennsylvania that I'm reluctant to try to pronounce because I want to say Versailles. It's not, that's incorrect. And when we come back, Selina will correct me. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.